series this morning dealing with problems that people have with authority. What I'm trying to deal with this series is how do we know what the truth is? How do we know that the Bible is our sole authority? And I came to this idea for this series trying to prepare for another series on Catholicism that I'm telling you and promising you I'm going to teach. And what I've come to find out is that the issues that we have with Catholicism, the doctrinal issues, pretty much are issues we have with other people as well. Now, not all of them are the same, but the biggest problems are the same. And the biggest problem that you have with Roman Catholicism and with a lot of other church teaching nowadays is the idea of their authority, their final authority. Where is it they go to determine what they believe, what is true? And you can't have a discussion with someone if they're going to different places. You believe the Bible is God's word and your final authority. Someone else thinks the Bhagavad Gita of the Hindu religion is their final authority. You're not going to be on the same page. And so it's impossible to have a conversation about what is right and wrong unless we understand where are we getting right and wrong from. Okay? And so we'll be dealing with this the next 4 or 5 weeks as we cover in detail the issues surrounding the Bible as our sole authority, tradition, and whether tradition is a good source of authority, apostolic succession, and whether apostles are a good authority, and whether apostles still exist today. We'll be studying about creeds and confessions and academic authority. And also, even we'll have a lesson on scientific authority, which seems to be pretty prevalent in mainstream thinking nowadays, that you know reason and science can give us an authority for truth and for what's right and wrong. And so we'll be dealing with all those things, and hopefully by the end of that, you'll have a pretty solid understanding of why we believe the Bible is our sole authority and the only place that we can get an objective, clear, understandable, revealed from God truth is God's Word. Okay? It's nowhere else. It's not your feelings. It's not your emotions. It's not some church tradition. It's the Bible. Okay? It's God's Word written down for us. And so that's going to be the theme of our series for the next month or so. Okay? And with that, turn to Luke chapter 20. I want to start with Luke chapter 20 because this is not a new issue. This is not, as some people say, that we're living in the age of postmodernism and living in the age where people are always asking questions about absolutes, and they're calling into question the foundations of our culture and that sort of thing. That's not a new thing, okay? It's just now it seems like Christians are not equipped to deal with it. And what that means is they're not equipped with understanding the Bible. And they're so ignorant, and they've left the authority of the Bible, that they're at a loss with how to deal with the arguments of this world, okay? With how to deal with the wise people of the world trying to cast doubt on the faith of the Bible. So in Luke 20, we see here that there's the same mindset even back in Jesus' day. Now, Luke 20, as we know, dispensationally, is not content for us. Luke describes Jesus' earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. It describes the time of God working through the 12 tribes, which means he is not working with the church. The church doesn't have any tribes. Okay, so God was dealing with a different people here. And yet when Jesus came, being God manifest in the flesh, he spoke as one with authority. That is to say, he spoke as if what he was saying was actually true. To which you talk like that today to anyone who's trying to think about the truth, they'll say, well, how do you know that you're true? You speak like you know the truth. Well, how do I know that? And people, it's really kind of a heresy to speak that way today in our culture. And that's exactly what we need to do. People have not been exposed to the truth, because everyone's trying to talk as if nobody knows it. Okay? We do know the truth. God has revealed it to us. By faith, we believe the Bible, and the Bible is God's word, which means it is true. Okay? We need to speak it clearly. When Jesus did that, he was asked the question, by what authority do you do these things? Look at Luke 20, verse 1. It came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. Now, these are the elite. This is the intelligentsia. These are the people who study these things out. Right? If anyone's going to have an answer, if anyone's going to be the academic scholars of the first century, it'll be these guys in the Jewish religion. And in verse 2 it says, they spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? Where do you get the authority to do, to say the things that you're doing, Jesus? Now, they should have known that Jesus was sent from God, and that speaking for God, what God says is true, but they rejected that premise. Okay, they didn't believe he was God. Therefore, here's a guy, and he's speaking like he's God, and they say, by what authority do you say these things? And what's Jesus going to say? Well, let's lay down the apologetics here of how you can know that I'm God. He didn't say that at all. He was speaking as God, okay? And they're looking at him in the face and saying, by what authority do you speak these things? They're testifying to their own unbelief. Do you hear that? When people say to you, how do you know you're speaking the truth? How do you know the Bible is true? All they've said to you, they have not cast doubt on anything in the Bible. All they've said is, I don't believe the Bible is God's word. That's what they've said. They've said, I'm an unbeliever. I don't believe it. That's all they've said. Luke 20, verse 3, Jesus answers and said unto them, since you're an unbeliever, since you don't believe I am who I say I am, I will also ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? So Jesus asked this question about the authority of John the Baptist, who was popularly received in Israel. And he says, they reason with themselves, saying, if we say shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? You see the issue? If someone speaks as from heaven, if they speak under the authority of God, what they say needs to be accepted. All right? There's no questioning the authority of God in Luke chapter 20, verse 5. And yet they say if he's from man, then of course they're going to face some demagoguery here. They're going to face some problems because the masses accepted John the Baptist as a prophet from God. Okay? And so Jesus calls to their attention what their heart's motive is, which is that they're not listening for God in anybody. They didn't receive John the Baptist either, these chief priests and scribes. And so Luke 20, verse 6, if we say of men, all the people will stone us, and they persuaded that John was a prophet, for they be persuaded John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And so again, this is the wisdom of the world put on display by your Lord, when they ask him, by what authority do you speak, in their unbelief, and Jesus says, tell me, what authority did your prophets speak? And they go, blah, 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 we don't know. You're ignorant as Jesus thought you were. Okay, and that's exactly the testimony of the world when they have problem with their authority. Okay, they become ignorant about the things of God. Okay, someone who does not understand their final authority will not understand the truth. They cannot. Okay. And so to understand authority and understand what is your authority, we need to get this straight. Where does truth come from? What is right? How do we determine? How do we make decisions in our life? Who has the ultimate power to judge right and wrong? Is it you? Is it a council somewhere? Is it a historical succession of people and churches? What is it that determines what is right and wrong? Where does that come from? And everybody faces this question, and quite frankly, because of the lack of preaching from the Bible nowadays, many people fall into the default position of, I'm going to decide what it is. Okay, whatever I think works is what I think works. You ask Christians today the question, why is the Bible God's word? And they say, because I believe it to be. That's the wrong answer, by the way. Okay, it's not the truth. It's not God's word because you believe it to be. It's the truth whether you believe it or not. Okay, all it takes to know the truth is to hear it. Romans 10:17, you hear the truth, and that's it. You're either going to believe it now or not, but your belief has nothing to do with determining what it is. Okay? And so that's what Jesus knew in Luke chapter 20 when they asked him, by what authority do you do these things? Authority is what we're dealing with. On your outline, I give a definition of the word authority, which means a legal power or a right to command, a legal right to have power over people, to rule, to judge. Now, we see authorities like this all around us every day. We consent, we recognize authorities, and yet what we're talking about is the ultimate authority. Who has the power to rule, judge, and declare right over all? Absolutely. Okay? We recognize authorities all the time, smaller authorities, scholarship, for example. We often talk here that scholars can get it wrong when it comes to Bible doctrine, and yet there's a need to study things out. There's a need to be experts in fields. And if an expert's in the field and he studied it for 50 years, you know what? I'm going to listen to him a little bit more than the bum on the street, right? He studied it out 50 years. So scholarship has somewhat of an authority. Can we believe scholarship to be right on everything? We'll learn in a few weeks. No, we can't. Okay, what's the extent of that authority? Only on the topic that they speak and only with the limited knowledge that they have. What about umpires in games, referees? When we play games, we do it a lot, and we realize there has to be an authority, a rule. If there's no rules to the game, it's not fun to play anymore, right? There's got to be a rule. There's got to be people enforcing those rules. Well, who gives them the authority to do that? Well, when you play a game, it's the consent of everybody playing. We'll let that guy be the umpire. You know, there's an authority coming down there. All right? And yet that authority isn't authority over everything in life. Those authorities aren't the ultimate authority on you determining right and wrong in your decisions in your life. What is the ultimate authority in your life? What about teachers? Teachers have authority. They have authority to discipline. They have authority to declare and require children to do homework if you're in their class. Teachers educate children, that sort of thing. They have somewhat of an authority. But again, the scope of their authority isn't comprehensive. Judges are given authority. Okay, now a lot of people like to judge things, and we should all judge things. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, he that is spiritual judges all things. And yet there are judges set up in our society that are set up to judge criminals, to judge whether or not they've broken a law. And by what law do they judge if there's not a standard? Right? So again, the authority that we give judges comes from a document, doesn't it? In our country, the Supreme Court and the judges there are supposed to declare and rule whether things are constitutional or not based on a piece of paper, a constitution. Okay, the words on that piece of paper. Now, is that constitution the final authority in all things? Well, no, it's not. It talks about our country and about our government, and it constrains the judges that judge in our country based on that constitution. But it doesn't deal with everything. Okay. There's lots of other laws in our country, in our state, in our county, in our city, ordinances that people pass that are authorities over people, okay, that are given power to rule, to judge, to command. But again, the question is, what's the ultimate authority? How do we know whether the law is a right law or a bad law? I mean, these are questions that people have, right? There's all these political battles about whether or not that law passed by Congress is right or wrong. Why would they question the law-passing ability of Congress? Because they know they're fallible men. And they know that just because you declare the law doesn't mean it's right. Right? People are testifying to an ultimate authority higher than the law, higher than our country. There's something beyond all of us that we all objectively say that is the standard. That's the ultimate authority. Okay? There's a problem with authority in our society, in the world. I just don't mean in modern times. I mean, there's always been. Since Adam and Eve, there's been a problem with authority. That's why they sinned. They rebelled against God's authority. Parents have authority. Well, not so much nowadays, but they used to. Parents have authority, okay, given over children. That authority is derived by God. The authority of parents is not given by the judges in a court. It's not given. It's derived by God, okay? And so, again, we have authorities all around us that we recognize. You hear at weddings, the priest says, by the power invested in me, right? He's saying, by the authority that I have, I'm going to declare these people man and wife, right? Well, what authority does that guy have to say that? Well, listen to what he says. I have the power invested in me by the state of Indiana. You know, oh, okay, there's the authority right there. You know, when Ginny and Aaron got married, I did their wedding at the very end. I didn't say that. Even though the state of Indiana did give me the power and authority to do that, I did not want their commitment to be on the level of my mere authority or the mere authority of the state of Indiana. It's by the power of God and His Word that these people are married. That's what defines marriage, folks. Not the state of Indiana, right? And so again, we need to ask the question, what is our ultimate authority? By what authority can we determine things are right or wrong or true or false? Where does authority come from? Is it from traditions, creeds, academia, force, government, dictate? Where does the authority come from? Where does the ultimate power reside? When people rebel against authority, with any authority, okay, when they resist it, it's called rebellion. When you have authority set up, people resist it, it's called rebellion. Rebellion is having a problem with authority. If you have a problem with the authority of our country, the authority of your parents, the authority of your teacher, that is rebellion. Make no mistake about it. Okay? I put in quotes there, teenagers, because I don't necessarily agree with the fact that people call them teenagers when they're 18, 19 years old and can send them off to war and that sort of thing. You need to grow up, children, right? But teenagers are often seen as having rebellious attitudes against their parents, right? Why is that? I wonder, why do they rebel against their parents? Because they don't agree with the authority. They think that there's another authority that they can live by. I don't need these parents anymore. Right? This is where rebellion comes from. Even with your, whether it be in a game that you're playing, whether it be in an intellectual field, whether it be in a court system where you're trying to defend yourself in court, people who rebel against the authority don't believe that authority is legit. Okay, that's what it is. And so many people today resist the preaching of the Bible because they don't believe it's legit. They've rejected the authority, the final authority of God's Word. All right? So I put in the list teenagers, atheists, sinners, all fools, by the way. fools in the biblical sense of the word. A fool is someone who rejects the God-ordained authorities. Okay? A fool in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 16, is someone who sees wisdom, who sees the truth, and rejects it. Proverbs 17, 16 says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" A fool doesn't want wisdom. Now, a lot of fools will not say they don't want wisdom. They say they do, but they reject the source of it. Okay? We're talking about authority, and we're going to talk about how our authority comes from God and comes from His words. If people reject the source of wisdom, where Colossians 2 says all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge come from Jesus Christ, God, His Word, and they reject that, what do you call that? Someone who doesn't even have a heart to learn that, because they're going to do it their own way. That's Proverbs 17, 16, a fool. They value the price of wisdom at zero, because they don't even want it. Okay? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says in Proverbs 1 that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. A fool despises it. Now, you ask any fool on the list here, a sinner, an atheist, someone who rejects God, and you call them a fool, they'll get upset, and they'll think you're calling them names. We're using a Bible definition here, folks. We're not using the name-calling, you're a fool, I'm smarter than you. Okay? The Bible doesn't use the term stupid. It uses fool. Okay? Ignorance is curable. If you don't know something, you can learn it. But a fool rejects the source of knowledge. A fool rejects where wisdom comes from. And that's what happens when people reject the Bible. Okay? If the Bible is God's Word, and we believe it to be, it is God's Word, people reject it. They've rejected the only source of wisdom and knowledge we can have about salvation and truth. All right? What do you call someone like that? When they're defiantly against it. Not someone who's seeking for it, someone who's against it. That's called a fool. They have four PhDs, you say. Doesn't make them any less foolish. You know, what are those PhDs? What makes them an expert? Because they have a piece of paper. Okay, in the things of truth, and things of God. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2 says here, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." That's how you identify a fool. They have no desire for wisdom, for truth, for real knowledge. They want to discover themselves, right? Because what they've done is they made themselves the authority. They think true wisdom and knowledge comes from around here, from everyone, anything I can see, everything I can think about, everything I can experience, my reason, my experience. I'm the final authority, they say. I'm the judge. You know, how do you know the Bible is true? Give me the evidence. I'll determine whether it's right or wrong. Proverbs 18, verse 2, they want to discover themselves. Well, that's the fool. God did not create us to discover ourselves. Acts 17 says He created the earth and all things that are in it, and He put us here so that we might seek Him. He's the source of wisdom, truth, and knowledge. If we're not doing that, we're foolish. We're wasting our time here. We're going to die. Okay? Proverbs 18, verse 2. There's an authority problem out there. People don't recognize the ultimate authority. They don't care, or they make it themselves. I'm the authority of my own life, they say. Really? That's foolish. That's foolish thinking. All problems with true authority are derived from a problem with final authority. The reason why people have problems with parents being authorities, they don't agree with you because you think one law is right and they think another law is wrong, right? People argue in politics and that sort of thing. The reason why you have disagreements is because they don't fall in the same line with the final authority. Their final authority is different, right? You can't make people see what you see when your final authority is different than theirs. So when we're talking about other people who call themselves Christians, whether it be Roman Catholics or Charismatics or Methodists or Baptists or whoever, if they don't have the same final authority, you're speaking past each other. You know what I'm saying? There's a problem with authority. It's an authority problem. How do we know the truth? Who decides what's right and wrong? What is the highest authority? Who judges? Who's in the position to judge me and you? The world says, nobody can judge me. That's hubris. That's foolishness. When were you born? A few decades ago? And you say nobody has a higher power than you? That's foolish. Try to break a law, see how that works. They'll throw you in jail for the rest of your life. Right? That's ridiculous. But that's the way the world thinks. I am the final judge. Well, that's a very weak position. Okay. How do we know? Look at John 18, verse 37. This is the question that's as old as humanity, folks. Pilate asked it 2,000 years ago to Jesus in John 18, verse 37, 36, 35, 36, and 37. This is when Jesus was on trial, put there by his own kinsmen in the flesh, Israel, and they're trying to crucify him. And he's set before this pagan ruler here. And verse 36, Jesus answers, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus was going to prepare a place and bring it back. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king? Art thou a king then?" Because the accusation is that he's trying to make himself a king. He's trying to supplant the authority of the Romans, of Pilate himself. And of course the Romans, that was the empire. That was the authority at the time of Jesus on earth. Right? And Jesus was proclaiming, "I'm sent from heaven." That's a higher authority than Rome. It's a higher authority than Pilate. So the accusations were, this guy's causing trouble. He's rebelling against the authorities. And Pilate asked him, "Well, are you a king then? Are you trying to, since you're bringing in a kingdom, are you a king?" Pilate's questioning his authority, just like the Pharisees did, just like the chief priests did. And what Jesus says, Jesus answers, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." He bears witness to the truth. You say, well, that sounds like Jesus saying, you know. Notice he doesn't say, "I came into this world to prove to everybody that what I say is true. And so I come with evidences and I come with proofs." He says, "I come to bear witness to it." How do you know the sky is blue? How do you know this? Is it true the sky is blue? How do you know the sky is blue? Go look at it, right? Here we are, me and you, looking at the sky. You say it's blue. I say, no, it's not. How do you know? Just look at it. It's blue. How do you know the Bible is God's word? Read it. Well, I'm going to read it, but I'm still not going to believe it. Well, that's your fault. It's true. You want to know the truth? You have to be exposed to it. Jesus came to bear witness to it. He says, look at the things that I'm doing. Listen to the things I'm saying. If that doesn't convince you that what I'm saying is true, then nothing will. Okay? The final authority needs no proving. What is the authority that rules our life? There's a problem with authority that people have. What is our final authority? Since the beginning of the world, for all time, throughout all history, for all men, God has always been the final authority. Despite what you think about the rising number of atheists, which are still a severe minority in our society, which is, I'm glad for that, because they're foolish, Psalm 14 says. But for all men, throughout all history, God has always been the final authority. Okay? In every religion, God is the final authority. Right? When God speaks, what he says is authoritative. That's always been true. It's common sense. We're humans. We're created. We're born and we die. God, who created all things, he's authoritative over us. He can rule and command and judge and determine and see things beyond us. And so if we could speak to God, if God could speak to us, that is an authority higher than us. Okay? If people don't see that, they're blinded. They've blinded themselves. God is the final authority. His words, then, are absolutely authoritative. His words, right here in a book, are true. You say, prove it. Read it. You want to know the truth? Expose yourself to it. Read it. Hear it. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the word of truth. Hearing it. Well, we're not going to preach the Bible. We're going to set that aside, and we're going to try to convince you from philosophy that God's word is true in the Bible, possibly. No, that's not preaching at all. Jesus spoke with authority. He just spoke the words of truth. But there's a lot of people who didn't believe, and if you just sat down with them and tried to, you know, no, he just spoke the words of truth. And they either believed it or they didn't. All right? That's the pattern here that we see. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 19. The final authority for all men has always been God. The words that he speaks then are authoritative. From the very beginning, what happened with humanity is they rejected God's authority. They wanted to rule themselves. They wanted to be their own judge. They wanted to have their own right to command what was right and wrong. Romans 1, 19, 18 and 19. It says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Hold the truth So Romans 1, 19 and 20, 21 goes on to explain how all men have been exposed to a certain amount of truth. Okay? You say, how can that be true? Not everyone's read the Bible. Right? Well, Romans 1, 20 and 21 explains that there are things that all people who are created are exposed to about the truth. Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. What does that mean, eternal power and Godhead? His eternal power. We're talking about authority this morning. We're talking about an ultimate authority beyond ourselves. It is clearly seen throughout history and testified by the facts, by the way, that people believe in a power and an authority higher than themselves, beyond themselves. That's what it means, eternal power, being manifested to people who are created. All right? It's nonsense to think that we are the final authority. That's the epitome of hubris. Okay? Foolish. Romans 1:20 says that they can clearly see his eternal power and, by the way, his Godhead, which means he's a person. He's not just a buzzing orb. He's an authority that can think like we think. And so people look at themselves and say, I think. The one who created me must think as well. I am able to make judgments. The one who judges me must be able to at least make a judgment as good as mine. Right? Everyone knows this. All religions are established on this principle. Most religions in the world have a system of works. If they do good works, then they get blessings in some eternal place or in the present. If they do bad works, they get cursed and judged by the Godhead. Right? Every religion's like this. All right? And yet, we have an authority problem. People don't want to listen to God. Romans 1, verse 21. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why is it foolish? They rejected the source of truth. They rejected the authority. All right? It's foolish to play the game of baseball when you take away all the rules. Why would you take away the rules? Because we don't like them. That's foolish. Do you see that? Then how more foolish is it to say, look at our lives. We don't want any judge over this. We don't want any rulership over this. There's no higher authority than us. When were you born again? When are you going to die? You're the final authority? That's horrible. Romans 1:21 says they became vain in their imaginations. Vanity is things that just go away, that don't matter. That's what you are. That's what we all are. We're vanity without God. Without someone who can promise that eternal life or something that's eternal, we're vanity. We're going to live for a while, we're going to die. And we're all vanity. And people become vain in their imaginations when they do not glorify God as God. I'm not talking here about salvation by grace. I'm talking here about how right divide. I'm not there yet. Romans 1, 19 and 20 says people can know that there's a God, and they can know that he's a person, and he has authority over them. And what happens is people reject that. They don't want his authority over them. And most often, that's what you find. Okay? The atheistic arguments, and you talk to people who are atheists, most of them are disgruntled with the wrong doctrine being taught by Christianity, right? So it's not that they don't know that God exists. It's that they've rejected his authority over them. They've rejected the authority of the church, right? They see the false authority set up. We'll deal with that in the next few weeks, where churches set up traditions and apostles and prophets and creeds, and they see that it's nonsense. That can't be an authority. That Bible was written by men, they say. Where do they learn that? Where do they learn the fact that the Bible was written by men? Who created this idea that the Bible was written by men? The church. The church did that. Roman Catholicism teaches we, the church, identified the Bible. Before it was written by men, we made it God's word. That's nonsense. Destroyed the authority. Destroyed the foundation. Okay? And so, what we see in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. God is uncorruptible. God is our final authority. He has the right to command, to power over us, to rule, to judge. He's uncorruptible. God never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13 says. There's no shadow of turning, James 1 says. He does not change. He changes his instructions to people as they progress through history. He doesn't change, though. God can never lie before. He'll never lie in the future. He cannot lie. Right? That's true of God. Romans 1:23, you know what happens is that people take away that standard, take away that authority, and say, I'm going to be the judge now. Well, you're a corruptible man. You don't take a shower for a few days, you start stinking. You change your opinion on things. You change your judgments. When you learn new things, hey, I'm going to change the way I think now. What? You learn new things? God knows all things. He's the final authority. You're corruptible. People think they can make their own decisions now by their own flawed reason and experience. Right? You go through life every day. On what basis do you make decisions you do? What purpose do you have in life? Is it because God is your final authority and you're going to do what He says is right? Or because you're the final authority and you're going to do whatever whim it is that you have, discovering yourself? There's an authority problem, you see. Salvation, at its essence, is an authority problem. Are you going to submit to God's authority and let Him do for you what you couldn't do? Or are you going to proclaim before God, I can do it, no problems? Salvation is an authority problem. People don't want to give up their own authority. That's what it is. I call it the authority of I on your outline here. The authority of I. I think. I like this. I believe that. I don't believe this. So what? Christianity is not about what I think or what I believe. There is a truth. It's true whether I know it or not. It's in God's Word. And whether or not I get it right or wrong, it is true. Let God be true and let me be a liar if it comes down to that. Okay? Because there's no way I can be objectively without error forever. I can't be that. I'm a man. I'm constantly trying to learn from the Bible, and I'm learning, and sometimes I change the things that I think about. I don't know all things, but God does, okay? Someone says, I think, I don't think, you know, I believe that, I don't believe that, that's not a source of authority. That's an opinion, that's what you think, fine, there are 7 billion other people on the planet, okay? When scholars say that, I think this, or according to the authorities, as scholars would say, what authorities? Well, scholars, okay? You know what that is? A man said that. They're scholars. Oh, a smart man said that. The smartest man is ignorant compared to what God knows. There's an authority problem. People put their trust in men. Smart men, but men nonetheless. Okay? This is a problem. When we put ourselves as the authority, when we say, I'm the judge of what's right and wrong, I have to determine this because there's nothing I can know outside myself. They've rejected God outright. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. They've rejected the only source of knowledge and wisdom, truth, which is God's revealed word. God has spoken to humanity, and it's in a book. Okay? Why my doubts about that? Who are you to judge? If you don't believe it, walk away. There's a truth. If you want to hear it, hear it. Okay? That's what we've been told to do. If we are the authority, if the authority over our lives, over the planet, is ourselves as humanity, then the authority is subjective. You've heard people say before, it's relationship, it's relative, it's subjective. That means what I think is true could be different from what you think is true, and it may be different than what the other person thinks is true, and nobody really knows which one of us is actually true. You've heard this done before. People say, I'm done with Christianity. I'm done with the Bible. There's 100 different denominations. And how am I supposed to know which one's true? Authority problem. How do I know which one's true? It's an authority problem. They're listening to the statements of faith, the creeds, the apostles, the priests, the presidents of each denomination, and holding them up as authorities. And they're all on equal level going, well, which one's true? And they're making a judgment over all of them. Where's the source of truth? How can churches declare a statement of faith? Where does it come from? You've heard me say before that don't trust the people behind the pulpit. When you have God's Word in your lap, you can read it for yourself. You persuade in your own mind. This is the source of truth. You have direct access to it. Okay? So ourselves are the authority. If we're the judge over things, then it's subjective. There's no way we can have an objective authority. You know, churches fall into this trap when they declare what's true based on their experience. I saw a vision. I saw an angel. I felt God's presence. How do I know that? I can't know that. Only you can know that. That's not a very good authority. Okay? There's got to be authority that we all know, that we all have access to. It's unclear when it's in ourselves. It's insufficient. You don't know all things. You can't be comprehensive in your authority. You can only be in one place at one time. You can only know a certain limited thing, a number of things. It's insufficient. It's changing. It's variable. You're constantly changing what you know and what you think. It's inaccessible. It's in your brain. Sometimes you can't even articulate it very well. I just know because it's in here. I just can't say it. Well, it doesn't do me any good. Who made you the source of truth? The Bible is an objective, clear, historical, comprehensive, sufficient, and unchanging authority for truth. It came from God. Okay? How do you know that, Justin? Read it. Read it and tell me it didn't come from God. And you'll identify yourself as an unbeliever. It's that simple, folks. People don't read the Bible. They're told not to read the Bible by apologists who say, let's set the Bible aside for now and just talk philosophy. You need to read the Bible. If you're an unbeliever, read the Bible. You know people have gotten saved from reading the Bible? A lot. That's how you show people the truth. You preach the Bible, God's word of truth. Okay? That's what's going to convince them, not you. They're going to hear it and say, that's true. I've read testimonies of atheists, about atheists who have read the Bible and said, I read the Bible and I just couldn't argue with it. And they had arguments against Christianity, but they couldn't argue with the Bible. It's not a mystical thing I'm presenting here. It's not something where this is a magic book and if you touch it and feel it. No, they're the words inside it. Listen to the words, what they're saying, the explanation of salvation, of who God is, the answer to the questions that you have are resolved by the content of this book. That's a big claim. Well, yeah, because it's the truth. Okay? If it were just a book written by men, it wouldn't be able to do that. By the way, there's no other book that can do that. See, that's a pretty absolute claim, but I know that. Okay? Compare the other religions, if you're scholarly. None other make the same truth claims as the Bible. Okay? Read the Bible. Read God's Word. It's an objective, clear, historical, comprehensive, sufficient, and unchanging authority. It's what you need if you want to know the truth. Okay. How do you know the Bible is God's word? I put on your outline there. I've said it three times already. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Okay. You read the Bible. That's how you get faith. It's not a magical, mystical thing. You hear the word of truth. You're exposed to it. You see the sky and you say, the sky is blue. Who told you that? How'd you know? What's the evidence or proof of that? Well, they don't need it. I see it right there. You read it and now you know it. It gets inside your mind, inside your soul. You now know it. Okay? God spoke. God is. He spoke, and His words are our final authority. Anything that God speaks is authoritative. I know the Bible is true because they're God's words. How do you know that? Well, I read it. It claimed to be God's word. I saw the content was true, that it was God's words. Everything I saw in here is evidence that it's God's words. Okay, we can't use the Bible to prove that it's God's words, people say. Circular reasoning. Well, how do you know anything is true? If you don't look at the sky, how do you know if it's blue or not? Right? See, it's nonsense. This is God's word. Read it and you'll know. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. People have an authority problem. They don't want to submit themselves to God in His righteousness. They know if they read the Bible, they've heard about what's in there, and they know the things in there, the standard of truth in there, isn't what they want. I don't want that righteousness. I want my own. Right? There's an authority problem here. God, in sundry times and diverse manners, spake in time past. We live in a world that God created and is evidenced by everybody, and He spake words to people and wrote it in a book so we can read. That's called objectivity. We're not left to wander around the world wondering who this God is that's out there. We have Him revealing Himself to us in a book. And I can copy this book and give it to someone else and they can read it too. I can preach this book and they can hear it and they can believe God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15 says to Timothy that thou from a child hast known the holy scriptures. Why are they holy? They're from God. It says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How do they do that? Because you read them. You read them and you learn about Jesus Christ. There's no other book that is the authority, even from an academic perspective, on Jesus Christ, salvation, and truth, and Christianity, than this book. You say, well, we have 2,000 years of church history. What happened 2,000 years ago? You didn't have church history then. You had God's Word. The Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. You can go on and on with the profitability of God's Word. It gives you the truth. Okay. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, that it's complete, truly furnished unto all good works. You want to know how to live your life? You want to know what the purpose that God is that created all things? You want to know the origin of evil and why bad things happen? This book is the truth. People don't want to receive that. They don't believe in God. They reject God's word then. Okay? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. The question we're trying to deal with this morning in our introductory lesson is, who has the ultimate power? And I'm trying to draw a distinction here between God and you. And hopefully we can agree at the end of the lesson that you are not the final authority. And you, meaning in the collective, it's not you or you or you or even all of us together, are not the final authority. We need God to be the final authority. The question we're going to ask the next 4 or 5 weeks is, how do we know God's authority? Where does that come from? Is it written down in a statement of faith somewhere? Does the church hold it? Does tradition hold it? Can academics figure it out? Or is it in a book? Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Peter, who saw with his eyes the resurrected Lord, said he has a more sure word. We can be more certain that Jesus resurrected, not from Peter's personal eyewitness testimony, which is subjective, by the way. Okay, I saw Jesus resurrected. Well, that's what you saw, Peter. I didn't see it. Peter says you have a more sure word of prophecy. That is the written words that were prophesied in the Old Testament, predicted, prophesied that he would resurrect. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, giving you the truth, right? Until the day dawn, the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, Scriptures, things that are written, is of any private interpretation. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, God. All right? There's an authority problem. People don't trust God to be the ultimate authority, even Christians. They don't believe his book. They've been taught not to believe it by churches. They've been influenced by philosophy in the world. Okay? They've been taught not to believe it by churches who hold their own tradition above the authority of God's word. They've been taught to diminish it by correcting it and changing it and saying we don't need that, and that's offensive to people. Okay? We need it. It's the ultimate authority over all men. This is the most treasured thing we have on this planet. Okay? And people don't treat it that way. There's an authority problem. They don't respect the authority. Okay? They have a different one. Look at John chapter 3. Jesus spoke authoritatively God's words. He appealed to people's understanding that if God speaks, it's an authoritative over all men. Nowadays, people have the idea that even if God does speak, we can judge whether what he said was right or not. They've lost the understanding of God being in the ultimate authority. In John chapter 3, verse 34, says, he whom God hath sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and hath given all things to his hand. He says very clearly here that the words that I'm speaking are God's words. Okay? Now you say that to someone and you read the Bible to someone and you say, what I'm going to say right now is God's words. And I read the Bible and they go, no, that's the Bible. That's Christian doctrine. They reject that it's God's word. They reject his authority. Jesus just said it outright. I'm going to say to you, Father, what he sent me to do. These are his words. Okay. Look at John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. The pattern Jesus is presenting here, of course, is that, hey, we need to do God's will, not our own will. With the issue of authority, then, when we're trying to figure out what is truth, how do we make decisions, how do we judge, what's the ultimate power, you know what? You don't determine that. God does. Okay? So we do the will of God. Your next question should be, what is the will of God? To which I have a verse for you. Okay? John 5:30. If someone doesn't get that far in your conversation, it's because they've rejected God as the authority. John 5, verse 37. Now, let's look at verse 31. Let's just read down through here. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Which is the same of you, by the way. People say, the best testimony for evangelization you give to people is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your experience. Tell them your testimony. I was laying there one night thinking about whether or not there's eternal life, and all of a sudden, I saw something with wings at the end of my bed. And then the whole room lit up, and I raised up on my bed for 2 feet, and God spoke to me. wow, I'm going to be a Christian.
Wow.
How does someone else know that actually happened? They don't know. I'm making it up. Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. If Jesus came and all he did was say, I'm God, I'm God, I'm God, that's all he said, that's not an authority. Anybody can claim to do that. You ever heard that before? Yeah, atheists say that. Even if Jesus did claim to do it, that doesn't mean anything. I can claim to be God. I'm God. Flying spaghetti monster is God. Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good argument there. Jesus didn't just bear witness of himself. He gave multiple authorities from God. He quoted God's word in the Old Testament. He quoted God's word under the law, under the prophets, under the Psalms, said they all speak of me. Okay. John 5, verse 31. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. So he's appealing to John. So now we're gathering a bunch of men together. No, John was a prophet that spoke God's words. That's why he mentions John on his resume here. There's another bear witness of me, John. Who's John? He's just a man. But he was sent of God to speak his words. Okay, John was a prophet of God, and he bore witness of Jesus. Verse 34, but I received not testimony from man. Well, he just quoted John. John was a man speaking God's words. Okay, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus is saying, I'm doing works that are fulfilling what God said he would do before. Look at the prophets, like Peter said. Jesus says, and we'll get there eventually, he says, search the scriptures. He says in verse 37, the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. So what is Jesus saying here? I'm the one who God sent, and you don't believe me. And Jesus says, I can't tell you that I'm him because you're not going to believe me. I can't bear witness of myself. What about John there? He bore witness of me and he spoke for God. But I have a better witness than John. What about God himself? And they say, well, we haven't heard God's voice. They said, search the scriptures. See verse 39? Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they testify of me. God's words are the authority. They are the truth. How do we know if Jesus was the Christ? Look at the scriptures. How do we know God's will? How do we know God's thoughts? How do we know the truth? Read the scriptures. Read the revealed words of God. They are your authority. Okay? That's what Jesus himself says in John 5. Look at John 12, verse 48. People think we've come to the end of such a long line of education and self-improvement that the statements and the debates people have today are fresh in history, and the Bible can't deal with them because it's 2,000 years old, and we need some highfalutin, to use a southern terminology, scholars to deal with the issues. And actually, what we need is a higher authority than them. We need God's words. Okay, John 12, verse 48 says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him, which tells you that the truth is true, whether or not someone believes it to be true or not. Someone tells you, how do you know the Bible is God's word? Your response should not be, because I believe it. It's because it is. Well, I don't believe that. Oh, you're a man, right? You're not God manifest in the flesh, are you? Because that would be a different authority. But if you're just a man saying you don't believe God's word, that's nothing new. John 12, 47 says, if any man hear my words and believe not, he says, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. You preach the gospel to that guy. That's what you do. Preach the gospel to him. Okay? Christ died for sins, your sins and my sins, and he's offering it to you freely by his grace. You're not going to believe in him or his work? Is that what you're testifying here? Well, I have no reason to. Oh, so you didn't hear the fact that I said that you're a sinner that needs salvation? You can't speak on the same level as a non-believer. They are blind to it. But John 12, verse 48 says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The authority, the judgment against you will not be secret events and hidden things that happen that you were never exposed to. It's God's words that's revealed. It's Romans 1:20. When you know that there's a Godhead and an eternal power, and you didn't submit yourself to that authority, you didn't seek the truth, whom God, which God has revealed in his words. You didn't do that. You ignored it, rejected it. Okay? There is a God. He spoke in history. We have the book. We have not only people who testify to it, which is a pretty low authority. We have God himself over and over again revealing himself. And the only reason why you don't see it, because you don't want him as your authority. You don't want it. You want yourself to be the authority. Verse 49 says, Jesus says in John 12:49, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. If I said that today, those are bold words. If I said, what I'm going to say in the next 10 seconds is God's words, it better be from the Bible. Or else you throw me out as a heretic. But that's exactly what's going on all over Christianity. They say, I saw a vision. God told me. He spoke to me. This is what he said for our church. Well, where's the verse and chapter for that? Because if it's not there, how do I know what you're saying is right? Search the scriptures, Jesus said. Well, I don't find that in the scriptures. Angels appearing at bedsides. You know, it's not there. It's not the truth. John 12:50, I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus says, look at Mark 1:21. This is not going to help convince people, Justin, is what you say. Well, no, it's not going to make any friends is what's going to happen. The reason why there's less and less people coming to church is because no one's preaching the gospel to them. No one's preaching the truth. Preach the truth. People will be saved. Not all people, but people. You are saved. Mark 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. That's a bash against the scribes. What were they talking about? No doubt they were smart guys. No doubt they were talking about things from scriptures. But Jesus spoke as one with authority. As one who said, this is it. I am he. It's being fulfilled. The kingdom's coming. How do you know the kingdom's coming? Who are you to say that? By what authority do you have? God's words. Okay. Mark 1, 21 and 22. Look down in Mark 1, 24, saying, or 23 rather. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now we've got unclean spirits testifying who Jesus was. Not even these scribes can figure that out. Verse 25, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now, this was written as a sign to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, you read this and you say, how do I know that happened? I've never seen that something like that happen. But how do you know it happened? How do you know any miracle in the Bible happens? It's God's words. All scripture is inspired by God. You go back there and you read that God created everything out of nothing. You go back there and read that, hey, God flooded the whole world. And hey, look at that. You know, God performed miracle after miracle. This is a very small one. Okay? And by the way, if God can do anything, what's the problem with him doing this? You don't want to submit to his authority, is what it sounds like. You're trying to submit to scientific authority. Right? Which is no authority at all. But Mark 1, verse 27. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commands he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. So again, he showed his practical authority here in controlling the unclean spirit, which, by the way, isn't just shown there for us to say, oh, Jesus cast out these spirits. It's written there because the prophets spoke that the Messiah would come and cast out the unclean spirits. So we can go back in the prophets and read where it says the Messiah would do that. We can come over here and read that Jesus did do that. And so we, 2,000 years removed, can say, hey, Jesus was the Messiah. He fulfilled the prophet. Okay? We don't have to take the eyewitness truth. We can take the testimony of the scriptures. Mark 1:27, though, look at the question, the thing that they say here. What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? What new doctrine is this? That you preach with authority. We've been debating the wisdom of the world for centuries, and you come and just claim it to be true. It's not a new doctrine, folks. But the system of the world, the way people think, they always reject God's authority. Okay? You try to preach God's authority from his word today, and they go, this is a new teaching. No. It's been taught before. You just rejected it for so long, you don't recognize it. Okay? It's not a new thing that God would speak to humanity. Hebrews 1 says, in time past, in sundry times and diverse ways, God spake through the prophets. And then Jesus comes speaking for God, and they go, this is a new thing. It hasn't been a new thing. Okay? Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 15. We have God's words, which means, if these are God's words, we can speak authoritatively. You say, I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm not God manifest in the flesh. How can I speak with the same authority? It's because you have God's words revealed and preserved right here in front of you. Which means you can make a statement and people say, I think you're being too judgmental. And you say, that's the truth. Well, why is your truth true and not my truth true? They have an authority problem. If you both understood that God's word is the final authority, they wouldn't be asking that, would they? You can always tell when you're speaking authoritatively. Because someone will respond with, don't judge. Oh, at least you heard that right. I was preaching the truth, and the truth is the judge over all things. The truth is the power over all things. The truth has the ability to judge what's right and wrong, and you heard it correctly. That was a judgment. We've gotten a culture where we don't offend anybody anymore, so the truth's pushed under a rug. Right? Don't judge. And so they're quoting the Bible, Matthew 7, verse 1, not knowing, it's talking about hypocrisy. Nothing to do with us not being able to judge. 1 Corinthians 2 says, he that is spiritual, which means that you know God's word, judges all things. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Titus 2:15, Paul tells to young Titus, how do young people know the truth? Young people are leaving our churches. Young people are asking questions like, what is truth? We don't know how to handle it. Titus 2:15, he says to young Titus, you can know the truth. He says to young Timothy, remember the scriptures that you were raised with. Those are God's words. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee, Titus. Now, Titus wasn't questioning the truth here. He was a teacher. Okay? He's a young man, though, and he says, preach it with authority. Don't preach it like you're trying to appeal to someone. Like it could be, possibly, maybe. It's God's words, isn't it? Then speak it. Okay? God spoke it to you. And he gave it to you to speak to others. Titus 2:15. That's the authority you have. By what authority do you have to speak these things? God made me his ambassador when he saved me by his grace because I heard the testimony of the gospel and I believed it. And you can be an ambassador too, and you can speak the truth and know the truth if you read the Bible and you believe it. Right? You can get in with what God's doing. That's as simple as it is. Why don't people do that? Because they don't want to submit to God's authority. They want to have another authority, another opinion, a second opinion on what's true. The Bible must be an error. It must be mistaken. When you come to the Bible, you need to make a fundamental decision when you come to the Bible. Whether or not you're true or the Bible is going to be true. When you study the Bible, you come to it. You can't come to it thinking, is this book right or wrong? I don't know. I'm going to determine that. Then you read it and go, let's see what my conclusion is. That's letting you be true and God being a liar. Okay? The perspective you need to have is that God has revealed his word. It is true. I'm wrong. I was born some 30, 40 years ago. I don't know diddly squat, except what I read in a few books. Okay? I'm in 2013. I don't know what happened the last 6,000 years very much. I didn't study history, you know. There's a lot of things I don't know. God is true. He revealed his word. I'm going to read it and let him be true and change who I am. Okay? That's exactly what Romans 3, verse 4 says when it says, let God be true and every man a liar. That's an authority question. That's an authority statement, rather. Okay, that's letting God be the authority, him be the judge, him be the rule, trusting him to do what's right, and looking at every man and their authority and saying, you know what, you're flawed. Your potential for error is what you are. Okay? I don't believe there's a God. Oh, so you're a man, right? You don't believe there's a God? Well, a lot of people are wrong a lot of the time. Right? Well, how do you know? Well, I've read the Bible. I've read it, and I know that it's true. I've seen it. I've heard it. Okay? The Bible is true whether you believe it or not. Romans 3, 4 says, let God be true, every man a liar. If you let God be true, you seek the truth, you hear the truth, you'll believe it. You'll see it. You'll know it. People talk about faith, and they want to learn the doctrines of Christianity, the doctrines of Islam, or whatever. You know, faith is not merely believing what Christianity says. It's not just taking the statement of faith and figuring out what the systematic theology is of the Protestant, Reformed, Calvinistic belief system. That's not faith. Any scholar can read books. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, which means you have to have the Word of God. Right? Because you've got to believe in God, which means God has to speak to humanity, which means it's got to be written down somewhere, which means there's a Bible here. And you're letting it be true, and you're not. It's the authority. Faith is letting God be true. Faith is saying, it's right, I'm wrong, and when you make that decision, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, it will change you. It will effectually work in you that believe, because you're submitted now to the truth, the true authority, the final authority, which is God, His words. Okay? God is our authority. We are not the authority of God. God is the judge. We're not the judge, so He'll judge us. We won't judge Him. That's a scary, terrifying thought. That God, if He's the authority, has the right to judge us. Nobody wants that, and that's why they create other authorities. They don't like that one. Right? He's the judge. He's going to judge us, which should lead us to the Savior, shouldn't it? Should tell us that if God's the authority and He's the judge, I'm dirt. I'm ash. He's going to blow me away. Right? That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need Jesus Christ. And hey, lo and behold, God's Word reveals to us the way of salvation. So it has what we need. We're going to be dealing with authority in the next 4 or 5 weeks. And the first lesson here is introduction. Just asking the question is, what is our ultimate authority? The answer is God, not man. Right? And that's going to be pivotal in our weeks to come in how we determine, you know, where does this source come from in the church? Is it through tradition and apostles? Or you know, where do we find, where can we read the words? Okay, and we'll end up understanding that it is in a book, folks. It's revealed in a book and you have it on your lap, which is an amazing privilege to have.